In this week's episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast, we're going to return to a topic we've discussed a few times, which is the notion of what is and what makes a good photograph. I am your host, Daniel Gregory. This is episode 473 of the Perceptive Photographer. I hope you are having a wonderful week. Just a little announcement reminder here. I guess that's not a reminder yet, because first time I'm telling you about it. But save the date from May 20th through May 24th of this coming year for the Lightroom Virtual Summit 2024, a free week of Lightroom training. I can't say much more about what classes are offered there yet, but just save that date. You won't want to miss out on some amazing classes on how to better use Lightroom and process your photos, organize your photos, and all such excitement around Lightroom. Also, don't forget to check out my website at danieljgregory.com for a list of upcoming classes, workshops, offerings, and all sorts of fun little goodies and gizmos up there. And if you're not a subscriber to the newsletter, if you subscribe right now, you'll get my introduction to black and white printing on Seen in Silver. So make sure you take advantage of that as well. All right, this week, like I said, I wanted to return to a topic on the notion of what is a good photograph. And this sort of popped back into my head because I've read a couple of things where people have gone outside the norm, so to speak. They've gone off on a big adventure, a tangent, and produced what is considered sort of not traditional art in their art world, or their medium, well, I mean their art world, I guess in their genre world, to receive some pretty negative feedback and criticism. And I've also had some people talk about the nature of, oh, those aren't my real photographs, those are just my play photographs or my snapshots, or those are my pretend photographs versus my real photographs. And I've always sort of found it fascinating that we make these sort of buckets and we put things in different buckets, whether it be by media we're photographing, the type of camera we're using, the what we think of as intention and purpose, even though most of our photographs have some intention behind them, whether they're snapshotty or more purposeful bent. But anyway, the topic just sort of drifted itself back up into my orbit, and I thought we would talk a little bit more about that today. Like I've said, we've talked about this in a few past podcasts, but it's always fun to revisit some of those topics and see how ideas and thoughts have changed and morphed over the years. But in the question of what makes a good photograph, what makes a acceptable photograph? And I find that question to be really interesting because so much of that is dependent on sort of the audience intention and purpose of the photograph. When we look at a photograph for, say, judging in a competition, there's an acceptable standard. There's an acceptable sort of way to present a photograph so that it ticks off the appropriate boxes on some form that decides whether that photograph meets a minimal quality bar. Focus, composition, framing, use of color, use of light, and what other sort of arbitrary categories have been assigned to evaluate the quality of that work. And one of the things about those is those are a set of, in many ways, artificial criteria. And I'm not saying they're not good criteria by which to judge a photograph. I just mean they're artificial in the sense that somebody has set down, or a committee of people have set down, and said that these are the concepts by which we're going to evaluate a photograph. And then what scale? Is it going to be judged on poor to excellent, 1 to 5? How are we going to go ahead and assess the value of that by, again, in many ways, making a artificial set of criteria and an artificial judgment set for those photographs? Again, what they may be looking for is completely valid, but it's, again, it's a construct by which we decide how to evaluate those photographs. We could flip that on its ear and choose a completely different set of criteria for evaluating whether or not a photograph is deemed good. I could say a photograph that's deemed good completely violates the expectations and traditional set of criteria for which we would traditionally evaluate such a photograph. So if it looks anything like a traditional landscape photograph, it automatically becomes a bad photograph. If it looks like a traditional portrait, it's automatically a bad portrait. I'm looking for something completely novel and unique. I have that opportunity because, again, the criteria are the things that I am establishing or that somebody else is establishing for viewing the photograph. Outside of that sort of structured environment, I think one of the ways we determine if a photograph is good is, do we see it as having value? And value is such an interesting proposition because the way our sort of capitalist structure sits is oftentimes one of the first things people think of when they think of value is monetary value. As a matter of fact, it's one of the first questions I still to this day get asked on nearly all my photographs. How do you sell them to make money? Or have you sold that photograph? Or how many times have you sold that photograph? Or what's that photograph worth in terms of dollars and cents cost-wise? Whether they're interested in buying it or not. And what I find so sort of interesting about that particular concept and notion is that the value of a photograph is rarely in its monetary value. It is driven by experience, the ability to see something, the emotional connection to the photograph. The value of the photograph is oftentimes in the creation of the photograph. Just the mere experience of creating the photograph creates its value. Now, there are moments and times where we take amazing photographs of amazing things, and we do get to sell them, or we do get to put a price value on them, or somebody else wants to acquire them for a collection, or we even think it's good enough for mom to hang on the refrigerator, whatever the context for that photograph is. But the value of that photograph is one of the things that I think is really important for us to hold as identifying the essence of that value to the photograph. Because what oftentimes makes a photograph good is, again, not in its monetary value, but in its value to us as a photographer from a learning standpoint, from a connection standpoint. I talk about one of the most valuable photographs I own is a photograph of my dog I took back in the day, because it was one of the first times I felt like I emotionally connected to some of the subject matter in my photography. That's a very valuable photograph to me. It's not the greatest photograph of a dog. It's not even the greatest photograph of that particular dog. But that photograph holds huge value to me for that reason. There's times I've been out photographing with friends or with family, and I've got photographs of family members that have huge value. For those of you who've listened for the podcast for a long time, know I lost my little brother. I can tell you the photographs that have my brother in them hold huge value to me. They carry a completely different value context in that conversation of what they mean. And so the assessment of the value, I think, is one of the criteria by which we judge a good photograph. A good photograph is one where I've got my brother in it, because I don't have any more of those and I can't make any more of those. And so that's a really interesting component to me when we think of value, is, again, not the criteria by which it should be judged, but by the criteria in which it holds meaning to me personally, in my heart, in my soul, in my way of thinking, that photograph holds meaning and value. I think one of the other sort of concepts, and these aren't specifically in ways we judge value, I think those are sort of the two big ones that I think of how we judge photographs, but a couple of things about photography that I think is interesting when we think about sort of how we determine if a photograph is good or not. I think there's a sense of, I call it the mystique of the photograph, that there are certain photographs or types of photographs or people in the history of photography who get sort of a free pass on the quality and judgment of the good of all of their photography because of what they photograph or who they photograph or who they are as the photographer. That we just hold certain places and people in high regard. So there are photographs of famous celebrities or photographs made by famous photographers, or there are photographs of iconic locations that we just sort of give a sense of elevated importance, not to the photograph, but to either the person on the photograph, the person making the photograph, or the location of the photograph. Because those places hold high regard, high reverence for us as viewers of the photography. And that mystique that's around the photograph sometimes has us think a photograph is really good because it contains one of those three elements. And I don't necessarily think just because something contains one of those three elements makes it good. As a matter of fact, a lot of the great photographers I know talk about taking a lot of very bad photographs and that not every photograph they make ever should see the light of day. And so they don't necessarily hold those photos in that regard, but we sometimes artificially elevate things. And I think one of the places that that can sort of bite us is that doesn't even have to be somebody who is like world renowned as a photographer, but even if you're in a local camera club, there's always the person who wins the certain category because they have this sort of aura about them, that they're a mystique about them, that people just know they're going to generate certain work. And I think that it's a mistake sometimes for us to assume that whatever somebody makes is good just because they've done successful work in the past, or we anticipate successful work in the future. There's always sort of a difference there. I think one of the other pieces there is that I mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but we sort of get this notion of the quality of a photograph is the snapshot quality of a photograph. That there's these hierarchies we create in a photograph that snapshots aren't very good. And yet, in photographic history, when we go back and look at somebody like Eggleston, a Shore, there's a certain snapshot quality to some of those photographs. As a matter of fact, it's one of the reasons why today some of the people aren't really fans of the work, because they feel too mundane. It's an everyday photograph of a mundane object in a mundane place of a mundane thing at a mundane time of day. There's nothing special about it. But the quality sometimes that we judge the photograph as being just a snapshot, as if it were throwaway, to me sort of diminishes the value of that, what's possible with that photograph in terms of holding memory, meaning, context. So there's a lot of things that come from just very quick photographs. And one of the things that I always find interesting is when we talk a lot about the creation of meaningful work, one of the things we talk about is the forethought of intention, the understanding of understanding what matters to you as a person, how that translates into your work. And one of the things that I find so interesting about snapshots and looking at people's snapshots or quote unquote throwaway images or less interesting images in their sort of vernacular language is that I think subconsciously we're always striving to create meaningful work. And so it's like even something that we sort of consider a toss away, throwaway photograph of a trip downtown or at a party or just friends getting together or we're at a location that's not ideal time of day, but we make a photograph. We're still thinking about how to make a good photograph. We're still thinking about how to make an interesting photograph or how to connect to the content in that photograph, even if it's by people. So we're together with family and friends. We take a photograph at a location on a road trip by one of the great historical markers that line the highways. We take a picture there that we're still trying to create something of value there. We're still trying to create a memory or hold a memory in some way. And it's one of the things that makes me wonder about the constant sort of flood of images we have today in terms of if we're always photographing, if we're always videoing everything in our lives but not present to the moment, then all those moments sort of wash away in terms of not being special. But the moments where we create photographs that we do connect to a memory of some kind or a experience of some time or something we want to hold on to, not just because we were there, but because we're connected to the being present at that time, I think makes those snapshots worth something. I think it makes them good photographs. I think it makes them interesting photographs. Again, will they tick all the boxes in an artificially contrived competition through a set of criteria? Absolutely not, probably. Do they tick the box of they hold special value and they're meaningful and they invoke memory and awareness in somebody years down the road? Absolutely. And isn't that part of photography's role and goal is to help us preserve memories, to help us connect to things that we may have forgotten or may not have remembered in a certain way? That ability of photography to meld time, to bend time, to warp time so that we're able to connect to the past in a significant way, in a meaningful way, doesn't that, by definition, make for a good photograph? I mean, come on, a photograph that can invoke the sense of time travel, good or bad for content, seems to be a pretty powerfully amazing photograph. That seems to be something good and value within that. And I think the other piece along those lines is that photographs that convey some sort of meaning or context of a place or situation are good photographs. You know, some of the most boring photographs you're ever going to see are x-rays. They're photographs. By the way we create them, they're photographs. They're not very interesting for the most part. I mean, there's some probably interesting photographs out there of weird things, but for the most part, you look at a photograph. But what it conveys, the meaning, the necessary medical steps to happen around that are significant and important. And so understanding the purpose and context of a photograph oftentimes can shift our association to whether a photograph is good, which is why I talk so much about language and titling and captions and being able to talk about your work and articulate your work in so many podcasts, is that that sometimes helps us understand why not necessarily we judge the photograph to be good, but why you hold that photograph to have value and qualities. Now, outside of all of this, like I said, there are certain things that allow for a photograph to be more accessible. So when we go back and look at some of those acceptable standards of criteria, those things about light, form, shape, and color are absolutely critical because they become ways to emphasize or ways to not be hindered or blocked by expression to get to that meaning content that we're trying to convey. It makes it easier for a viewer to understand. It makes it easier for a viewer to create a sense of awareness and space. But I think all the photographs need all of these kind of concepts for them to actually be considered good photographs. We need to have some sort of acceptable viewing standard along with meaning, along with content. We don't need to just make sure that the goodness of a photograph is described by whether or not we can sell it, but we also need to make sure that we have the meaning and purpose behind it. So there's all sorts of ways to evaluate, I think, the nature of good. And in, you know, the 14-15 minutes we've been talking here, I've cherry-picked out a few things of what could have been a very long podcast talking about the nature of what makes a photograph good or not. But I think it's important for us every once in a while to circle back to some of these core conversations, these core questions we ask ourselves as photographers. And I think one of those questions of when I look at a photograph, when I bring it into the darkroom or bring it into Lightroom or I start to make a print and I say to myself, is this good? What could improve it? Well, am I improving an acceptable judging standard? Am I trying to improve meaning? Am I trying to improve context, awareness? What am I doing with that photograph? Those things matter. And I think revisiting these questions matter. So if you haven't spent some time sort of thinking about what good means to you and how you're either trapped into a certain formula for good, or maybe you're just feeling lost and not really understanding what's a good photograph, it might be a good chance to revisit that question for yourself. I hope you have a wonderful week behind the camera. Thanks so much for listening to episode 473 of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time.